Engage fluo injectors.
Engaging fluo injectors.
Fluo reactors at 80%, sir.
Fluo containment field is destabilizing.
Emergency fluo containment protocols now. All hands brace for impact.
Brace for impact in 3, 2, 1.
Holy balls, we're back with another episode of World 1-1 Podcast. Before we dive in, a quick tease for the third half of the show. We're going to be taking a dive down the warp pipe and looking at games that have gone radio silent in development. So stick around for that. If you haven't already, you can and should gently caress the inner thigh of the subscribe button on your podcatcher of choice until it delivers you notifications when we give you new episodes every week. Also, in the show notes, there is a link to our Discord. Jump in and join the conversation with us. Quick shout out to our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors. More about them just before the break.
Choose your fighter.
I am, as always, your host, Rob the Wall. Joining me this week is my homeboy and right-hand man, Josh the LeGrew.
Yo.
I feel like I haven't, like, fucking seen your face in a dog's age, dude. What the hell?
I know. Yeah, yours too. The one thing I just realized is that you look like a Sasquatch that has just, like, pulled over a flannel over his hairy body.
It's all right there.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah,
full body
exactly.
Beard. There's the throwback.
It's like that
title.
Scene of Teen Wolf when he's like wolfing out inside the, you know, that's what that looks like to me.
Oh, Lord.
Try as I might, I cannot get as much hair as we're all here.
No, the your beard's there, but it's doesn't quite have the full. It's not
no.
Patchy, but it's not the
no.
Full.
Well, I'll tell you what, something like for me, this is incredible because my whole life has been about patchy hair. So everywhere.
Okay, here's a great fun fucking story for you since we're going down this road for a second, and then we'll get to the fucking good stuff. But so like I said, there's an old episode somewhere buried in the archives, and it's titled A Full Body Beard. And I shit you not, it's a full except, and this was pointed out years ago when I was hanging out with an old roommate of mine who was working at a tattoo shop, and there was a big group fucking shop photo. And a friend of mine was doing photos for him. And, you know, we got in a couple of ridiculous ones. Little did he know, because I was at the very back of everybody, I had turned around and dropped trow and mooned him while she was taking photos. And he didn't know until he got the fucking photos back. And he goes, how the fuck is every square inch of you covered in hair except for your ass?
Hey, well, I just
so
would say.
Full body beard, except bare fucking ass.
It just rubs on the pants, and then that's why it's gone. If I was naked running around, it would just be always hairy. But
so yeah, there's an image that you'll never be able to bleach out of your brain. Now that we've lost, you know, two of the three listeners that we get on a week.
Yeah, 67% is gone.
Let's jump straight to.
Video games.
Josh, what in the hell have you been playing? Because like you said, we haven't really had this talk in a fucking hot minute.
No, I mean, so I've been playing a little of a lot. And
same.
So, yeah. So I actually jumped back into Metroid Prime.
Hey.
On Switch. I decided, you know what? I'm going to try this again because when it first came out for the Switch.
Yeah.
I started it. I kind of played it. I didn't complete it. And I just really wanted to get back into it. So I'm just going to restart it.
Mm-hmm.
I put about 2 hours into it. I'm liking it so far. I think I'm in the right mood, the headspace for it. So I'm just going to keep going with that. I'm also doing some old school stuff. So I am going through my Wii collection and my GameCube collection. And just kind of like, what do I have? And part of this is from a collection standpoint. Like, what do I have multiples of for games? And then if I have two of them, I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw that in. So I threw in Mad World, started that again.
Ooh.
On Wii. And a friend of ours, Rawls and I's, Wes, I had a second copy I found. So I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Who wants this copy? And Wes is like, I'll take it. And so I'm like, okay. Right. So I'm sending it to him. So that's part of this is like I'm trying to go back through some of these older games and maybe not actually complete them.
But at least get some time clocked.
Put them in, put them in again, play a little bit, remember why they were good. And then if I have a double of them, I'm trying to put that aside. And so the main part is it's very selfish. I'm like making sure the discs work.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, that's as valid as anything else.
But... yeah, because if I sell it or give it away, I honestly just don't want someone to say, oh, that asshole, Josh, you know, gave me something that doesn't work, you know, right. So I want to make sure it works. So I'm going through stuff. I've got about, I don't know, about five games that I've kind of gone through again and just kind of playing on that. I have, believe it or not, I let my, as of yesterday, actually today, my Game Pass subscription has lapsed.
Ooh.
And that only happened because my credit card expired and the wrong, it was not expiration some kind of date. Like, yeah, the expiration date is wrong. And so, honestly, that was kind of the impetus for some of this stuff going through my old stuff. I'm like, well, yeah. Well, I'll wait for the new card to come in because frickin' the card is delayed coming to me.
Oh.
And I can't guess, you know, what the expiration date is. It doesn't work. So I'm doing that. So I'm going through some of that stuff. I think in a day or two, I'll get back my Game Pass subscription, and then I'll be able to complete the games that I've been playing on there. But I also don't want to just buy them outright.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got like three or four of those. So like Return to Grace. What I really am into it and I really like it. I love the old school kind of like adventure vibe from it. I get from it. That's for me is like the best. And so I want that. What else? I've got, my PlayStation 5. So I have started again, Drake collection. I think it's called the Drake collection, but it's the, Yeah, the collection
like one,
for
two, three.
Yeah, it's got like just the stories of, you know, Uncharted on it.
Right.
And 1, 2, and 3. And you're right.
I've got that disc actually.
Yeah, it's a great if you're just getting into PlayStation, that's a great game to
I
just
pick
get.
That one up for Zoe, as a matter of fact. I do have that disc. I picked it up for Zoe because that was one that I know that they would be into.
Sure. I get that. I get that from that standpoint why they would like that. And I also, so I started that up and I'm in the first game and I have never played the Uncharted games.
And I don't feel any better.
No, I mean, because I've been really an Xbox guy. And so I really started like Uncharted Drake's Fortune and I'm like, 2 hours into that and I'm like, this is really good. I'm enjoying it. So and I know for me, if you guys have followed some of the stuff I've said on this podcast, like for me this is a lot of games to play. It's taking a long time, but I'm going through it very methodically, very slowly, and I actually happen to like it. So I'm just keep it rolling until something like falls off. But right now, I think it's good. I'm really kind of ramping up, I think, to play some more PlayStation stuff again. Mm-hmm. I just haven't more PlayStation centric stuff, especially because on the PC now, you can earn some kind of trophies.
Mm.
So. Not everything, not every game, but like Spider-Man is something I really am hoping they turn on PlayStation trophies for on my PC because I have it on my PC, have it on my X or my PlayStation, but I really do want to play that some more.
Right.
I just haven't got into it. So right now I'm just kind of trying to finish those three things. Like I'm trying to do Return to Grace, finish that up. more Uncharted, and just some, you know, cleaning up some of the stuff along the way.
Mm-hmm. Be real interested to hear if you plow through Prime Remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Go back through Prime on GameCube.
I want to.
Just
and
to
that's
play part, spot the difference.
Part of the reason is I wanted to play that again because I was going through my GameCube collection and I have 3 copies of Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is I want to just like not 3 copies of, you know, the 3 games, but literally I have 3 separate copies of Prime Remastered. And so I wanted to play that again. I wanted to make sure Prime Remastered. I just want to make sure I can get through it. Be like, mm-hmm. okay. And then I do want to go back to it on GameCube.
So I think I've mentioned it before, and if not, here it is. There, you know, when it came out a little over a year ago, as far as I'd seen, and I looked at a lot of it across the internet, I've seen almost every, you know, little minute difference between the original and the remaster spotted and called out, right?
Right.
And most of it's pretty trivial. And there are a few odds and ends that I have not seen mentioned or called out anywhere.
Right.
One is there are some mechanical differences in the Omega Pirate fight. And that one I don't think I've seen called out anywhere. I know that some of the mechanical differences in the Ridley fight have been called out, because the Ridley fight is definitely tougher in remaster than it was in the original.
Okay.
Because a few things have been nerfed or gimped. But there were also some of the same things nerfed and gimped in the Omega Pirate fight that I had not actually seen called out. Specifically to do with how they react to power bombs. So there is a difference there. The other one, and it's just a little visual nitpick, but my issue here is that it was a little visual touch that I adored dearly in the original Prime. And that's when you get the boost ball in the original GameCube, when you charge up the boost ball, you can see inside the morph ball shell, you can see a separate mechanism winding up that then releases to create the momentum for the boost ball. That's gone in the remaster. It was real subtle and barely noticeable, but once you know it's there, you can never unsee it.
Right.
And so not seeing it in remaster, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you took out, even though it's small, that's a thing that actually, like, mechanically makes this thing make sense, and you removed it.
And it bugs me. Okay.
Like, if nothing, you know, go watch somebody's Let's Play of the GameCube version and look for it. And like I said, you got to look real carefully to see it, but it's there. I swear to God, I've not hallucinated this.
And it might be, like, honestly, something only somebody like you would notice.
Probably.
You know, Raul is like a mega fan.
I know it's not there.
No, Raul's a mega fan on Metroid shit, so.
But yeah, it's gone, and I was like, I'd not seen anybody else call out that difference.
And okay.
I'm unhappy about it. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't really affect anything, but I'm like, you had something that somebody put some thought into and then chucked it.
Right.
And I am displeased about it.
Oh, yeah. I wish I get my camera.
If I could,
we can just
I could find a second one for a like not bank breaking price, I would pick it up and I would actually let Michael go to town doing a paint job on it, like weathered and, you know.
Are they expensive now?
They definitely got saltier than the MSRP from when they came out.
How much did that cost us? I don't even remember.
I think it was like $50.
Was it that much? Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have bought it if I realized it was that much.
Yeah. I think I remember you catching yours, I think, on a clearance.
I did. I caught it on a clearance from GameStop.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
As far as I know, I think GameStop was the only place that had them.
I do believe that you're right. It was a exclusive.
So, but
either way, I got it somewhere here.
Right?
No, I mean, that for me is a lot because I've been just so busy. But that is, and there's no excuse. That's, to me, I'm honestly, I'm really trying to lean in more to games because the games make my mental health better. So,
I know the feeling. I've been playing a shocking amount of stuff here in the last week or so.
Okay.
So a couple of days ago, this is probably the most recent of the bunch, but a couple of days ago, I started digging into Super Hot Mind Control Delete.
Oh, nice.
And I'm not going to lie, I can't say that I've really pulled out and deciphered what they're doing
different
with the story. I can pick out the differences here. I just haven't figured out where they're taking the story, because honestly, the story in Super Hot is one of those things that you really kind of have to dig for.
Yeah.
If you want it. Like it's buried with layers and layers to get down to it. But in terms of mechanically, they took the foundational base of Super Hot and gave it a semi rogue treatment.
Right.
Where they're kind of, you know, presenting various areas and stages, and they'll toss you in and randomize where the red guys are coming from and what they're equipped with, and you get to, you know, pick up some temporary God damn it, the word's gone out of my head. Boosts, lifts, whatever you want to call them, that, you know, you can start like each one of the stages in each section with a perk. There you go.
Perks.
So yep. Like you could, you know, one of them start with a random gun, or all the guns have an extra few bullets in them before they run empty. You get an extra heart. You know, that kind of thing. And it's been really enjoyable. Like, I loved the base gameplay of Super Hot, regardless of the story, which the story is fantastic, but just the base gameplay alone is really enjoyable and really cathartic. It just scratches the right kind of itch. And Mind Control Delete is just gobs and gobs of that.
It is.
I also really very much enjoy this is leaning into the more kind of glitchy, something is going wrong feel of the whole thing, which again, that layer on there makes me want to dig and find what the story in the third installment is, because they have said this is the third installment in this story. So there's a continuation in there somewhere. I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah,
so
that's one thing I think love.
You're not gonna get it until the end,
right? That's one thing I actually love about Super Hot, mm-hmm. is that they first made it, and I honestly think that, and then they started retconning it. I do believe that they did that. They're like, oh, this is more popular than we thought, and oh, we could go back and change this, because now years have gone by in real time. Not mm-hmm. story time, but real time.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're like, oh, sensibilities have changed. Let's make this story different. And well, I honestly, do like how they did. The biggest
retcon was that whole self-harm thing that got changed. But we covered that a while back.
And I get that. I honestly get that, because that's their intent. That's okay. After sitting with it even longer, I think you and I and... I think it was
Zoe was there.
Zoe, and I think it was Eddie was there too.
Might have been.
And
that, or it might have been Kathy.
It was, maybe it was all of us. I mean, I think either way, we've all talked about it at one point. I think the consensus was as long as the developers decided that was their will, it was okay. That they didn't go through it.
If anybody listening is looking for this episode, by the way, that episode title is Censor Hot.
Yeah, Censor Hot. Yep. And I think at the time, maybe I was a little more anti changing.
Oh, I was too. Or I think my biggest thing was, look, if you're going to do it, go for it. But give me a way to play the original.
That was the whole thing.
We want the option.
Right, right. So it was more like, don't nerf it for us because you think we can't handle it.
Yeah.
You know, just give us the option to do it. And I think, like, as I've gotten a little bit older, not even older, just sat with it longer, mm-hmm. I realized that if that's the way they want me to play a game, that's okay.
Right.
I'm totally okay with that. I'm fine with it. I'm disappointed if I can't play the original game.
Yeah.
But I understand why I wouldn't be able to, because if they said, no, this is what we decided. Okay. I'm disappointed, but I'm willing to accept it. And the game is fantastic. So, especially in VR, fantastic. If you got a VR headset.
Well, that's the other thing too. The VR game is not just a VR port. It is the flip side of the story of Super Hot 1.
God, it's so good. It's so good. And you played in VR on your Quest. Yeah.
Yeah, I broke a ceiling tile in the basement down here doing that shit.
You gotta show me that ceiling tile when I come. But
I will.
But for me, I just played it not that long ago in VR again.
Yeah.
And so because I played it in PSVR 2, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is good. So that's what changed my mind with it. If they choose this is what they show me, I'm okay with it. So that's cool.
Yeah. But so Mind Control Delete's been mm-hmm. Getting some heavy play the last couple of days. Finally started to really sink my teeth into Outer Wilds. Like I got to a point where I'm like, I feel like I've got a good bite of this.
Great.
So
what do you think of it so far?
I really like it. I think it's going to be one that as the season goes on and we get nicer summer weather, and hopefully as you and I are working on some other things outside of this,
right?
I start having some days where I don't have to, you know, have my alarm go off at 6:45 in the morning for work, and I can sit up late. This is one that I very much want to, like, throw the projector up on the back porch
and
turn
play on
the fire pit and sit and play outside in the nice weather in a summer evening on the projector. Like, it feels like that kind of game. It's a campfire game.
It is.
It's got that vibe. I'm not going to lie. At one point, one night, I actually turned it on and just let the background music play and went to bed with it because it was really nice.
I think there's...
Periodically, I've been...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been putting on some psychedelic space rock playlists. Like 5-hour videos on YouTube for bed because they're simultaneously chill but not.
Yeah.
So those have been a lot of fun. I have yet to escape Balatro, but for the most part I have it relegated to being like a bedtime game, like I was telling you maybe about a week ago now.
Yeah.
Is that it's one of those that, and I've told you this, but you know, for anybody that wasn't listening to our phone conversation. So, not you, FBI. Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, but... FBI. Fuck off.
Yeah. we weren't on a watch list, but we are now. Shit.
We are now. Yeah, CIA. We're there. Mm-hmm. Just a couple overweight,
we're coming at you live from our cave.
Overweight, middle-aged gentlemen talking about Balatro.
Fucking car game, yeah. But Balatro is one that I recommend. Fire it up when you're good and awake and you're ready to, like, soak in the how-to and learn the game. But once you know the mechanics and you've got the basics, it's great for bedtime. I figured this out one night because Zoe conked out. I had the lights out. And I'm like, I'm not ready to knock out yet. I need to wind my brain down.
Right.
So I put on Bellatro because I'm sitting there thinking, what can I put on to try and unwind with that isn't going to, you know, wake them up? And so I'm like, Bellatro's fucking perfect. The music is super chill. The entire soundscape, all the sound effects, very low key, very chill. And it's one of those that it's great for like an hour or two before bed just to wind down with. And then I'm ready to conk out. Plus, it's got the whole like lo-fi CRT TV, like bulge filter and the
right.
scant lines going. It's just got that great warm TV glow feel to it. That's perfect for bedtime. And it keeps me from going too far down that well. Like, it's not so involved that I really have to keep my brain wound up thinking like I would with something like Slay the Spire, figuring out how to string together the most ridiculous combos in order to keep my run from completely ending up in the shitter.
Right, right.
None of the runs go on long enough that you feel real bad if you fucked it up. Like, oh, well, I'll try again.
Yeah, right.
So it's three rounds of three blinds and then, you know, you win a run. Cool. So beyond that, I checked out the demo for Anton Blast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you fucked with this yet?
No.
Okay. I was telling Michael about this and I was just telling Bonnie about it too, which if you listen to the last episode that went up, you guys will get to have gotten to meet Bonnie. But in any case, so Anton Blast is... Anton Blast is like a violent, ridiculous 90s Saturday morning cartoon in both the visual and the audio department. And like, it's got all the ridiculous sound effect, like stock can sound effects and everything that you'd find from like an early 90s Genesis game.
Okay.
But visually, it is also very fucking noisy. It feels very chaotic to control. However, there is a... It's not as random as it feels like it controls at first. And it's one of those that if you can mentally cut through the noise and you start seeing the lines through all the visual noise, the flow state when you start banging it out is incredible.
Okay.
Like, it gives me like Sonic 2 Chemical Plant Zone flow state feels when you get it. But there is a huge layer of noise to cut through in order to find the lines, to feel the control out. But it's so busy, it's so hectic that it feels chaotic, but it's not chaos. There is a controllable chaos there. And once you right. learn how to control it and direct it, fuck, that flow state is so good. But it's a heap of fun. Like, man, I mean, that's all that matters. Down in front of it and let her go nuts with it, and she'd have a ball. She'd probably be terrible at it, but it's so much just hitting you stimulus-wise that for like an 8-year-old, they wouldn't care anyways. It's just fun. Look at all the things that go kaboom and all the silly sound effects, and
right,
you know, it's there in all levels and all fronts. It's one of those. It could have been really shallow, but there is a depth to it. But there's a big gap between those two to try and cross to get from one side to the other. But if you can do it, holy. Like, I cannot wait for this to come out and see people speed running this shit.
Nice. Nice. I also want to put out there, too, that I have been playing the Stellar Blade demo. For PS5.
I saw that somebody took the demo and grinded for like 60 hours to max out the skill tree in the fucking demo, dude.
Yeah, I'm not that intense into it, but I like it. I'm gonna say that it's a good game. It's kind of Soulsy in a way where it's hard. The Soulsy part of that game is the combat, where it's not that it's hard. It's that you have to parry, you have to dodge, you have to actually learn the combat stuff. So I like it. So that's one thing I'm going on too. So if anybody is on the fence about that game, pick up the demo, because the demo is free and you might as well, right?
Yeah, at least we're not paying for demos yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But which, speaking of, by the time this episode drops, it will be out and it's on my hit list for this week. Another Man's Treasure comes out this week, and I am really pumped to go check that. That's hitting Game Pass day one, by the way. So when you get your Game Pass fired up again, that'll be there for you.
And then like a day or two. Yep, I will be doing it.
I've got a few others, but I'm going to shorten this for time's sake. And I'm going to leave it with one last big one that I've really put some time into and been enjoying so far. And actually, Zoe and I were playing it together, and that's Harold Halibut.
Oh, okay.
Harold Halibut is... it has... The visual style has a certain Wallace and Gromit-esque feel to it. The cinematography is gorgeous. Like, the lighting, all the work that went into it is beautiful and is showcased spectacularly. Really super intrigued by the story, the more of it that I'm hearing and finding out as you go along, because it kind of just dumps you in, and then you start, as the more you play, the more you get an idea of the scope of what this world is that Harold is in. And it is very much the story, at least so far, the story of the downtrodden 9-to-5 worker who's just like, God, this all sucks.
Yeah.
And boy howdy, you're right from the jump, they're playing with themes of like late to end stage capitalism, and it's good. The voice acting is excellent. The writing is really good. It's got that kind of, I don't know if surrealist is quite the right way to put it, but it's definitely got that slightly off-putting, something's not quite right feel to the writing and the characters and the world and the design, kind of the same way that the movie Poor Things does. Like, something's a little off-center kind of deal.
Sure.
Not enough for, like, everything to be totally, like, what the fuck, but just enough that when something happens, you're like, fuck was that?
Yeah, you're like, WTF.
yeah, very much so. Solid recommendation for anybody that likes old-school point-and-clicks. It's that family of games. So I know you and I are in that camp, so definitely I would say put that on your hit list.
I will, yeah.
So, but, you know, a couple of others that I've been dipping into, LEGO 2K Drive, a little bit more Botany Manor. I've started a little bit of Spiritfarer and dicked around with some TMNT Shredder's Revenge, but not a ton of either of those. Honestly, out of those, in the last week, LEGO 2K Drive has probably gotten the most time out of those, but even then it wasn't a lot. It was just enough to kind of dick around with. I will say LEGO 2K Drive feels like a lot of fun. I wish that it wasn't a hop around the map kind of thing. I'm like, let me just pick some missions and go. I don't want to free drive all over the place looking for shit kind of thing. But other than that, like, once you get into it and you're doing like actual mission races and stuff, it's a lot of fun. It's not super deep in the weeds. You can, for the most part, just kind of jump in and go, and that's what I want. I wanted, if anything, I want it to feel more arcadey than it is.
Right.
But it already is fairly arcadey. So, but we'll close that out there. Quick word about our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors, helping you up your scent game with fragrances for guys, gals, and non-binary pals. Check out everything from their perfumed oils and candles to the bar soaps, which are awesome, to all of their perfumes and colognes themselves. My one of my growing favorites is the Memoirs of a Trespasser. It's kind of like a mellowed out version of A City on Fire, which A City on Fire is already a head turner panty dropper. Certified. It's happened. So I can stamp that. It's happened. Yep. Uh-huh. So
I think that might be too much info here.
I'm not saying who's, I'm just saying it's happened.
No, I get it. But, yeah.
But yeah, make, you know, link in the show notes down below. Go check them out. And if you're not sure, you know, and you think this might be something, but you're not sure, sample sizes, couple bucks a pop.
Yeah.
Put together a little sample pack. It's awesome. You can try a whole bunch.
Yeah. And I can attest to that because I have actually ordered one of their sample stuff. And I'm curious, love it.
What'd you get? What'd you think?
I got like 5 different samples. I let Mel pick them, and I don't remember all the names of them.
You got they're a favorite not out of the all.
Batch? No.
That's all right. That's all right. No, they're all.
Oh, they're all really good. They're all good. That's the thing. Like, it's hard to pick a really favorite, and so and to be honest, the samples are very generous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
So I mean, the sample sizes are great too for like. I actually keep like an extra sample just for when I'm out and about and I want to re-up and because they are beautifully like pocket size. It's a little 2 milliliter sample for a couple of bucks. Goes great in the pocket. So
yep.
That way, instead of carrying around, you know, a $50 or $100 bottle, you've got a little extra something on the go. So one of the other awesome things that I've found too is that, like I said, Zoe loves City on Fire on me, and every once in a while if they've had like a rough day and I know before they get home, I'll actually
raw,
like
it's raw on fire.
I will I'll spritz a little bit of it on their pillow and on like their favorite comfort stuffy, so when they come home and curl up into bed,
you're not even playing that fair immediate anymore.
Comfort and just feel better feeling. It's not even to get, it's just,
no,
it's an instant comfort.
Yeah, but you're not even playing fair anymore, dude. You're like you're like stacking the deck now. Yeah. Hey, so but as long as they're happy with it.
Hey, pro tip for everybody out there.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's enough of that. Let's hit the break so that we can get to Radio Silent Games. So we'll see you guys in the third half right after the break. And we're back with the third half of the show. This week, we are taking a dive down the warp pipe.
Oh, wow. Love these pipes.
And we're looking at games that have gone radio silent in their development and production. And we thought that this might be a good one to get into now, actually, because a few of them that have been sitting radio silent have recently started making some noise again. Some more than others, but we'll get into that. So, just to kind of lay the groundwork here, some of the ones that we had on the list that we were thinking about when this topic came to light were Metroid Prime 4, Elder Scrolls 6, Hellblade 2, Silksong, Skull and Bones, Beyond Good and Evil 2. These are all ones that have been in development for years with almost no updates, no news, nothing. And obviously, a couple of those recently have had some news pop out. Some of the one of them more so than other. Than the other, but we'll get into that and kind of see what that looks like and what that does for them differently in terms of coming out of that radio silence. So let's take a look at, you know what, let's start with the elephant in the room. Probably the biggest one is Silksong, because every single time there's a Nintendo Direct, everyone gets out the clown makeup and the wig and the nose as has become the running joke for years now, ever since Silksong was announced as a standalone game. But Silksong has just recently gotten an update, and we actually got an update on Silksong about 2 years ago that did not pan out the way I think anybody had hoped for, which was that Microsoft announced that Silksong was going to be out and available on Xbox by, what was it, June last year? And then obviously that never fucking happened.
The presentation said everything would be out within the next 12 months of that presentation.
Yep. And Microsoft even clarified when it was raised that Silksong was in that sizzle reel, and Microsoft said every single game, and then they ate crow on that one. But just recently, Silksong has had a game page pop up on the Microsoft Store. That's news. A lot of conversation around that. But obviously, that's where the news on Silksong stopped. But on the other hand, we've got Hellblade that has kind of been a different kind of radio silence. Or Hellblade 2, rather. Where we went for quite a while without any real updates on much of anything. There were a couple of trailers, which is also more than we've really gotten for Silksong. And just recently, previews for Silksong or for Hellblade have started going up, and they are all pretty fucking glowing. A lot like my face in this terrible light. And I am so, so excited. But Hellblade also had a very different kind of radio silent, because the developer has actually been putting out some really cool dev diary stuff on their YouTube channel as well. But it's not all Hellblade 2. Like, some of it was looking back at what went into the making of Hellblade 1. I do remember one of the ones that they did post that had a little bit more about the making of Hellblade 2 behind the scenes was actually looking at their mocap studio in their new offices, and that was really fucking cool. If you've not seen it, you should absolutely check it out. I will dig it up and I'll stick it in the show notes, because it is really impressive, the space and the technology that they've collected and put forward to make this happen. It's really a unique feat, and this could be my ignorance, but I can't say I've seen anything like it even in Hollywood for mocap work like this. And it's I looked at it and I went, fuck me, that's impressively cool. Like, this kind of thing feels like they are setting the standard for mocap work in animation. But at least, you know, there was something coming out from them in terms of communication. Even if it wasn't directly about Hellblade 2, how things are coming along, when we're finally going to play it, which is going to be real soon now, though, and I'm so excited. It feels weird to get, like, happy, giddy, excited for a game like Hellblade that is so fundamentally unhappy. Is that just me? Is that fucking weird?
Oh, I mean, people get excited over horror movies and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but even horror movies you kind of do for the fun of horror. This feels different. But maybe it's just me. Maybe happy, giddy, excited isn't there. Maybe just like intense anticipation for this.
That's probably a better way to describe it.
We'll go with that. I'll take that. Wes, let's dive in. What are your thoughts and feelings when games go radio silent like this? And does it make a difference to you when they're big name games, or if it's a smaller game that maybe you feel like you're the only one that gives a shit about?
So, to me, a lot of it depends, more than anything else, on how I feel about it, about the size of the studio, and should we reasonably expect a lot of progress has been made on this. Because while you can say we should have gotten more from Team Cherry than we did, I double-checked this, like, as you were talking. Their website only lists their team as being three people. I'm sure they've contracted out a few of the positions for things like music and such, because that's a lot of work for just three people on a video game.
But I think the music stuff was actually done by a fourth person as well on the first one, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Right. But even then, you know, a game the size of Hollow Knight, and I imagine Silksong is going to be just as big, if not bigger, that's a lot of work for three people. And so while I wish they had set, at the very least, announced a delay, also I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not surprising it's taking longer than expected, because they only have so much they can work on.
Yeah,
I was a little more disappointed with how little in terms of things such as release dates and how long it took to go from the first trailer to a release date announcement when it came to Hellblade, because they had Microsoft money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it appears that Microsoft is trying to be a very hands-off publisher, which we have seen various levels of success with. We've had Psychonauts 2, which was great. We had Redfall, which the developers said they wished Microsoft would have canceled.
Fell on their face.
Right. So, and when you act like a hands-off publisher, sometimes that means you let deadlines just whoosh right past you.
Yep.
So, now, it's a little disappointing that it took so long. I'm glad it's finally here. I'm anticipating it being good, but this isn't a huge, as in thinking this is going to make the game bad, but I am disappointed that they recently announced that the game is going to be locked at 30 frames per second. Look, I'm a performance over graphics guy. I don't expect games to be 4K 120 frames per second, but at the bare minimum, if let me have a 1080 60 frames per second mode, come on.
You know, I'm going to defend it here, just for a minute, and this might seem a little weird, but if it is locked at 30, I have far less of a problem, because it might have been they could have gotten it up to 60 but couldn't get it locked, at which point if it runs at 60 but it's not locked, it becomes way more apparent that there are performance problems. But if it's 30 and it's locked at 30, it'll feel consistent, and it might be that they were pushing things so hard that that was the best frame rate they could lock it at. And I would rather have the frame rate locked at 30 than inconsistent at 60 and pulling me out of the experience by it feeling chuggy and framey.
I get that, but usually when games do that, they'll offer at least the option between performance and graphics, you know? Mm-hmm. And so
I suspect that there is an artistic choice being made in not offering that. The other thing is that consider, if this is anywhere in the same vein as the first game in terms of thematic and aesthetic, a slightly less smooth motion due to a lower frame rate could benefit the feel of it, because it playing that first game, you felt the rough edges and the grit of the and the filth and the horror of the world that Senua was in, whether externally or internally or both, really. And a slower frame rate can emphasize that some, because it's not all smooth edges. It's not all smooth motion. It feels a little rougher. It feels a little... I'm trying to figure out how to put it to words. And it just... there you can over polish something. You can make something too smooth to the point where it feels contradictory to the feel and the vibe and the aesthetic that you are trying to get across. And I think that's where this may have been the right choice. But that's just me. But back to the topic at hand, I put to you the question, is going radio silent automatically default an indicator of trouble in development?
I would argue yes, but it's not an indicator of how severe the trouble is, if that makes sense.
Okay. I don't think you and I are on the same page on that front, but I'll elaborate. And I don't think you're entirely off the mark either. Like, history has shown that there is good reason to be concerned when a game goes radio silent in development and production. But I don't think it should be taken as an automatic indicator of problems.
I don't necessarily mean a problem with the final product, more so a problem mm-hmm. somewhere along the path with development. Just right. Making sure we're in agreement on there.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you. That's a worthwhile distinction to be made too, because there have been a lot of games that went radio silent and ended up in development hell that came out the other side to the point where, or in a state where you're looking to go, yeah, we probably should have just let this one go. The obvious example being fucking Duke Nukem. The more recent example being fucking Skull and Bones, which you raised earlier. Because Skull and Bones sounded real promising when it got announced. Like, I was excited. And then they showed it a couple more times. And then I got less excited. And then it went radio silent. And then suddenly it was fucking out. And it was awful, even though Ubisoft was sitting there trying to go, well, this is the first quadruple A like, which I feel like that level of lack of self-awareness does not bode well for their other radio silent development hell game Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Did you hear CD Projekt Red's response to the quadruple A thing?
No, I missed it.
They said, from now on, we are only going to develop quintuple A games.
You mean like Cyberpunk?
In their defense, they did fix Cyberpunk.
They mostly fixed Cyberpunk, but there was a lot of lying about it. Yeah. And that...
I feel this might be a discussion for another time, but at least they didn't double down on it like Ubisoft did with the final product for Skull and Bones.
Yeah, there is that. But there was definitely a whole lot of shady shit all the way up until release day. Anyways, but no, you raise a very important distinction, though, is that there may be trouble somewhere in the development line, but that does not inherently mean that we should be concerned about the final product. The history does also bear out, though, that I don't know if more often than not, but it does bear out that a lot of times when they go radio silent and they get stuck in production and development hell, that you might want to adjust your expectations for the final product. And I think I'm almost worried for stuff like Silk Song because it has been so hyped and everybody is so pumped for it, and I'm worried that when it comes out that not, and this is what gets me about developers going radio silent on production, is that it allows speculation to run rampant to the point when they do finally break the silence and give everybody the look at the game that they've been waiting for, and it doesn't meet the expectation and the hype that the community has built up in their own head based on next to nothing, that it then gets unfairly judged rather than being looked at and taken on its own merits. It's weighed against years of wild speculation and hopes and dreams unchecked by reality. And part of me thinks that that is the biggest problem, the biggest downfall to going radio silent on development on your game, especially when you are a very, very anticipated game like Silk Song, like Prime 4. And Prime 4 has had some speculative news updates, leaks come out, but most of it seems to kind of be coming from LinkedIn more than anything, where, you know, you've got people looking at and talking about every time somebody gets hired or there's a job listing and guessing what that might mean. But I feel like a lot of times it leaves the territory of we are making an educated guess and cementing it in our own heads as reality, even though we don't have anything to go on to base that on. And I worry that's going to bite the final product's reception in the ass. And that could just be me. If I'm off the mark here, tell me. I want your thoughts.
I don't think you're that far off the mark. I mean, when a game that's been as hyped up as games like Silk Song and Prime 4 keep having these delays and delays and delays, we want the wait to be worth it, you know? And whatever comes out, if it's I say it only as if this is makes it bad, but let's say they're only 9 out of 10 games, right? Let's say Silk Song is good, but not as good as the first Hollow Knight. Let's say Prime 4 is good, but not as good as the original trilogy. Well, people are going to say, why were we waiting so long for these? Now, granted, Prime 4, we kind of know why we're waiting so long on it. And that's because they announced they had to start over almost from the ground up.
No, it was full ground up. They scrapped the whole damn thing. Switch studios, that was a ground up restart. But even then, that's been 5 years now since that restart.
Right.
Or rather, that's been 5 years since that restart was announced.
Right.
We don't know when the actual restart happened. We know when we were told about it.
And the fact that LinkedIn is what's giving us more info just makes me think that if I had a nickel for every time a Microsoft platform gave us more info than Nintendo did on a game that everyone was planning on playing on a Nintendo platform, I'd have 2 nickels, but it's kind of weird that it happened twice.
Fucking facts, bro. Fucking facts. Now, here's another fairly recent example, though, where we can look at the final product, and I can point to it and go, this is exactly what I was talking about. Starfield. Starfield got announced. Everyone was hyped based on the setting, the premise, and the pedigree. Starfield came out. not the warm welcome I think they were hoping for.
Starfield had, I think, a bit of an angel effect at first, because if you look at the history of its Steam reviews, started out, I can't remember if they were overwhelmingly or very positive at first, but they were up there, like high up there. Then it went from very to mostly to just positive to mixed to negative. And where is it sitting at now on Steam? Let me check that before I make a claim and say it's at overwhelmingly negative, when someone can easily Google that and disprove me. Where is it sitting at now?
Flip side, though.
Back, it made it back up to mixed.
Okay. On the flip side, though, sometimes Radio Silent might be the best choice, depending on who's working on it. Because I'm going to cite two examples here, and you'll go, yeah, they probably should have stayed quiet, and it would have gone better. Anything that Peter Molyneux has ever been involved in, ever, and No Man's Sky. Because anytime they came out and said anything about whether it was Peter and any of the Fable shit or anything else for that matter, fucking Milo and Kinect, or Hello Games and No Man's Sky, every time they came out and said something about it before launch, once the game came out and we all had it in our hands, we realized that every time they opened their mouths before launch, they were just digging a deeper hole, and they should have fucking stopped while they were ahead. Now, Hello Games at least not only righted the ship and eventually, and worked very hard to deliver on all those promises post-launch and more, which they have turned No Man's Sky into something massively beyond what they originally promised, even. So props to them. But, and then you've got Peter, who just runs his mouth about anything and everything that he thinks fucking sounds good, whether or not it has any grounding in reality.
So I'll agree with you on the Peter Molyneux part, but this feels like a mix of a discussion for another time, because it's circling a little bit back to Cyberpunk, the discussion of the promises we had for what the game was at launch, and taking all the bugs away for a second, it still wasn't the RPG people expected it to be until Cyberpunk 2.0 released.
Yeah.
But had they done a more Radio Silent, maybe not fully Radio Silent, but less hype train building, dialed it back a little bit, and the game came out, it probably would have lasted a couple of weeks in the public conscience, gone away, would have completely forgotten about it. Had they not let the hype build up to the point it did, let us be disappointed with the initial product, and then get excited again after they continuously updated the game, would we even be having this discussion about No Man's Sky at all? Would we even remember it happened?
It's a good question. So, and I didn't mean to like derail from the topic at hand this week. I only pointed that out to cite what happened, what can happen going the other direction.
Right. But I'm just trying to argue, staying at least somewhat relevant to the topic, that had they done that Radio Silent background, or even dialed it in just a little bit,
right,
we wouldn't talk about No Man's Sky in almost any situation. This one, good games, bad games, whatever, we would have forgotten about it by now,
maybe.
And
at
I think,
at least with No Man's Sky, I will say maybe, and here's
and
why.
I just think the hype building up to it, even if the initial product wasn't to our expectations, it did help it become a better game because we expected so much out of it.
That almost falls into the category as there's no such thing as bad press.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's, I feel like this might be a good place to wrap this conversation. If there are games that you are pumped for that have gone radio silent, let us know what they are. Jump into the Discord, which, reminder, link in the show notes down below to our Discord, where you can jump in and chat with us. Let us know what you're looking forward to that's gone radio silent for way too long, and how you're feeling about it. On that, I want to say thank you to my compadre Wes for coming and hanging out with me this week. Thank you to everybody that tuned in and listened this week. You, we're talking about you. We love you. And we want you to come back next week and do it again with us. And in the meantime, we'd love to chat with you in between in the Discord server. Thank you to our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors, helping you up your scent game with fragrances and scents for guys, gals, and non-binary pals. And that puts a pretty little bow on this whole thing for the week. So for all of us here at World 1-1, we appreciate you. We'll see you back here next week. You have been listening to the World 1-1 podcast on the World 1-1 Podcast Network. Press start to engage your mind. Say good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Peace.